This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
The Power Hour, as we get to the final hour of the week, which seems to feel like it's lasted a month. I got to be honest with you.
It's about right.
It's been one of those kind of weeks.
Been a long week, Coach.
844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program.
And that's not because we haven't had good shows or great guests.
Oh, the show was part. No. Let me make sure I get
this is a health link.
Yeah, it's a health thing for me. Yeah. It's not the shows. The guests have been awesome and all that good stuff. We have a blast. But, man, you know, when you're grinding every day, like, oh, my God, my eyeballs are going to pop out of my head. It's been a long week. Long week.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, let's go to the phones. You ready?
844-SAY-ACCN.
You ready?
Sure.
Because it's Duke, North Carolina.
Oh, my man is here.
Robin, the Duke fan, is on hold. Robin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, man. Doing good. I've been, been like you, buddy. Been trying to get over this crud and this flu or whatever for the past month. I know how I feel. As Clinton would say, I feel your pain, brother.
Yeah,
but, hey, I guarantee you one thing. There's no way I'd miss a game like tomorrow night. They'd have to put four bags of IVs in me just to watch the game so I could be ready to go pulling for them mighty Blue Devils. And I tell you what, I'm looking for a big game tomorrow night. And them when we roll in over to Chapel Hill, hey, trust me, I hope we beat them by 150.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you really think you have a chance tomorrow night?
Yes, sir, I sure do. Yes. What do you say there? Seriously. Hey, Duke's defense, and I know Carolina's down and everything, but I tell you what, I just love it when this time of year, brother.
Well, you know, I was watching the Duke BC game the other night, and be honest with you, you know, Coach K was on yesterday and even said they kind of got outplayed and everything else. I'm kind of worried about your team tomorrow night.
Well, I tell you, I tell you what, I'm not. That was just a bump in the road, as they say. They get that game over them, and hey, you know what, brother? We'll just go ahead and roll in that because it's Duke, Carolina. I heard what Coach K was talking when you had the interview with him yesterday. I know that, you know, Coach K wants to win because every game is like a Carolina, but this game here tomorrow and the last game on March the 7th, those two games, what we look for every year. And, I'm looking for a good game. Hey, if I could, before you guys let me go, Cutcliffe was talking about taking over, having more, foresight for the, offense for next
play
for this coming year.
Sure.
And is he going to be like the offensive coordinator? Because I tell you what, I know everybody's been ragging on Zach Roper and what he's, you know, I guess it's because of, you know, play calling from what it was last year. I just know, like you say, that he was unhappy of what was happening last year to the offense. And, hey, we got Chase Bryce. And I tell you what,
that's why
good things.
you got yourself a quarterback now who can throw the football downfield. He's a smart kid.
Right.
We've mentioned this before. It's a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit for the student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect fit for Duke. And I expect him to, from an offensive standpoint, to look very different than they did a year ago.
Yeah. Hey, Robin, who do you think the star of the game tomorrow? Who do you think the star of the game tomorrow night will be?
Hey, I'm looking for possibly Hurt. Maybe he can hit them threes from outside, play a little bit of defense, but offense inside to help carry out. I'm looking for Hurt, mm-hmm. probably the sleeper, but I tell you what, I don't think they can stop carry inside. I just don't. Duke's just too good inside right now.
Robin is so confident that Duke's going to win tomorrow that he's actually asking us about Duke football play calling.
Yeah.
That's how confident Robin is.
Robin is very confident.
Duke
knows about Duke football.
I'm not looking over the game, but I tell you what, hey, I look forward to it. And trust me, brother, it's going to be a long night for the Tar Heels.
All right, man. Good luck. Good luck to you guys tomorrow night.
Thanks, buddy.
Nice job, Robin.
Hopefully you feel better.
Nice job. Yeah, hope you feel better. Hilarious. People react.
If he wasn't sick, I'd ask him to come over here and make us some ribs.
I was getting ready to say, why didn't you offer up to get us like a small chop plate or something?
You know why? Because I don't feel very good.
And he doesn't feel very good.
You don't feel very good.
None of us feel very good.
He feels awful. He's got the same mess I got, whatever it is, that just can't get rid of it.
What if we took Robin to Bristol?
I'm not sure Bristol's ready for Rob.
I think Drew and Josh are.
I really don't think the state of Connecticut is ready for Robin the Duke fan to come rolling up there.
With the smoker.
With the smoker in the back.
Yeah.
Charcoal.
Sure.
Smoke billowing out of the back.
I can't believe he chose Matthew Hurt knowing that you got the man crush on Cassius Stanley.
I don't have a man crush. He's just my favorite player in the league. And I still hope at the end of the year that our unbelievable crew in Bristol can put the best of Stanley dunks.
Just count them down. They've already got some of it together.
I know. And every time we go to break or whatever and they put a bumper up and there's a Stanley dunk, I mean, it's just, they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
No doubt.
Dude just glides, man.
Good.
He's one of those dudes that when he jumps makes no noise, right? It just.
Correct. More of your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACC. And we started this show today telling you about the Nike Elite jerseys that these two schools are going to wear tomorrow. And Pac's not happy. Others are not happy. The bottom line is that reportedly these are the unis that are going to be on the floor tomorrow night at the Smith Center. However, according to the release from Nike, they would not have numbers on the front. Well, that's a problem because that breaks an NCAA rule. Specifically in the book that says you must have numbers on the front and back of jerseys and they must be measured at least minimums and that kind of thing, can't be bigger than, that kind of deal. Also, those are not contrasting colors. That's also a rule. Now, you say, well, State Carolina played in road jerseys earlier this year in Raleigh. Those are contrasting colors. In the world of basketball rule books, those are not contrasting colors.
Let's just hope the old adage, you play as good as you look, doesn't come into play with these.
There you go.
So I don't like either one of them.
And Nike's doing this to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the first meeting ever, which is January 24th of 1920. So we'll see what happens. I still think there's some I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed on
I'm going to tell you how anti I am of these two jerseys.
Okay.
If they sent them to us, and I've always said, you send it, we wear it, not wearing it. Not wearing either one of them. Not even going to put them in the basement.
That saves us and them.
Yeah. Don't like those at all.
I don't know that I need to see it.
As much the hype, though, of Duke and North Carolina, and rightfully so, it's the best sports rivalry, period. I do think the most important game, though, of the weekend.
Virginia Louisville.
Is Louisville hosting Virginia. Bill has kind of alluded to it as well.
Right.
Last hour when he was with us. It's another great opportunity for the Hoos, who are fresh off a couple of weeks of knocking off Florida State at home in a game they had to have. This is another one of those incredible opportunities for Tony Bennett's guys.
Right.
Again, their defense has been great. Can they score enough, though, against a Louisville team that at times has just been overpowering against people?
Yeah, it's and Virginia, by the way, needs a resume win, Pac. Virginia needs a win that it can carry kind of forward toward the committee room. Cavaliers are one of those teams in the ACC that, in all honesty, the Florida State win helps, but they didn't really have anything else to go with. The loss on the road at Purdue, Purdue's been Jekyll Hyde. We talked with Joe Lenardi about that yesterday.
Yep.
I think there's all sorts of different little details, so to speak, as we go to the Selection Sunday panel, and it's going to be incumbent upon Virginia to go find a couple more wins, and certainly tomorrow afternoon is one of those at 4 o'clock.
And that's a Virginia team that currently sits number 4 in the league. And when you start talking about, hey, how many teams are going to make the dance, the
right,
first three are no issues, the biggest question now becomes from an ACC perspective, hey, is it going to be 4? Can we get five?
Correct.
I don't know if you can go much further than that. And we also have tomorrow the college basketball committee unveiling the top 16
teams. That's right, yeah.
Which has kind of gotten lost a little bit. And I think your statement the other day was spot on, that they've really tried to take a page out of the college football playoff. And
it doesn't necessarily
work, I don't think, as much for hoops as it does football, because they only give you one and then they leave you hanging for another month. But it will give you at least a sample of where the big three are in the ACC in terms of two-line, three-line, four-line, whatever it happens to be. I don't think you'll see a one-line out of anybody there. But if you're a Duke, Louisville fan and a Florida State fan, tomorrow that would be certainly worthy of a notice, just to take a gander and see where you are.
As we go to break, a quick reminder, Boston College, Virginia Tech is tomorrow at noon. Wake at Syracuse, the nightcap here on ACC Network. From the Carrier Dome, the Oranges lost two in a row after winning five straight. Georgia Tech is at Pittsburgh tomorrow. The Panthers are favored there.
That is a glob special. Georgia Tech and Pitt.
Well, what's the glob game of the week? Georgia Tech, Pitt, or BC at Virginia Tech?
Well, they all are.
Or Clemson hosting Notre Dame on this network Sunday
night. You got that Sunday night, and that's an important game, too. Notre Dame's starting to shoot the lights out of it. We talked about, five straight games now of 80 or more?
39 career double-doubles for John Mooney.
And the Tigers are fresh off back-to-back 44-point efforts,
period.
LL on the road at Wake and at Virginia. So something's got to give. We got this, five teams at 5-7?
Yep.
Notre Dame with a chance to kind of go on a semi-run here. When we talked to Mooney about that, he said their team kind of talked about, hey, February's our time, let's go.
Yeah.
So, again, I think the game you've got Sunday night will be interesting.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Been a fun show, been a fun week of shows, other than health, of course. But Fred Kiger coming up in about
Thanks for the mention. Throw it on the fire there, Coach.
I'm just saying.
You've been kind of like the distributor of illness.
I've my assist to turnover ratio has been spectacular this week. Flu-ridden people.
Yeah.
And then Mrs. P gets the flu and gallstones.
Stop. That's TMI.
How about that?
That's TMI.
By the way, I was sitting here trying to do a radio show on SiriusXM yesterday, which was painful because I just couldn't talk. And I didn't know where Mrs. P was. She'd been gone for 5 hours.
Right.
And I finally get a text like during the last hour of the radio show. Well, I'm in the emergency room. I'm going, what a week.
Nice of her to check in.
What a week this has been.
Did you finish the show or did you go straight to the emergency room?
No, I finished the show.
Oh, of course you did.
She said, I said, do you need me to come get you? No, I'm going to be okay.
Commitment to the product.
And I said, do you want me to come get you? No. Stay where you are.
All right.
Stay away from me.
You want to do one stat?
Wait a minute. That's been kind of a motto here lately.
What's that?
Just stay away from me. You over there. Stay away from me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
Lots of stats.
Duke, Carolina, tomorrow night, Chapel Hill, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Dan Shulman, Jay Billis. Holly Rowe will be there.
Hopefully not wearing blue or red.
Yeah.
Based on our interview yesterday on off campus.
All right. Here we go. Coming at you fast and furious. Saturday's game will snap a streak of 14 straight in the series with both the Blue Devils and Tar Heels ranked in the AP Top 25. The last time either team was unranked, February 20th, 2014, North Carolina upset number 5 Duke. 74-66.
And that's my point with all this stuff. I mean, on the surface, when you look at this game, you're going to probably say, hey, Pac, I've watched enough of these games this year. Duke's going to kill North Carolina. Well, you know, you might be 100% right. But something tells me North Carolina will play with unbelievable passion.
Right.
The place will be a zoo, as Coach K pointed out yesterday. The environment's unbelievable. And Duke will have to play well to win the game.
There you go. Vernon Carey is next on the list of one game and lots of stats. He's now got 4 games this year with at least 25-10, tied for third most in the nation. He now can become the 3rd player under Mike Krzyzewski to have a 25-10 game at Chapel Hill, joining Shane Battier, who did it twice, and R.J. Barrett. That's pretty nice company right there.
And he is a problem. He's a problem.
Yes, he's a problem.
He's a problem for whatever shade of blue and any other color that a team might wear. And he's starting to find it. These freshmen kind of hit the wall sometimes, Wes, late January, early February, and then they kind of find that second win. Just feels like Vernon Carey's found that second win, and he's really been good.
There you go. So keep an eye on number one in the Royal Blue tomorrow night. All right, next on the list, North Carolina's Cole Anthony leads all Division I freshmen who've played a minimum of 10 games, easy for me to say, with a scoring average of nearly 19 points a game.
Can you imagine what he would average if he could hit 50% of his jump shots?
Anthony Edwards, by the way, of Georgia, expected to be a top five pick. Vernon Carey of Duke is third.
All talented dudes right there.
Yep. All of them.
But Cole Anthony tomorrow cannot give you a 5 for 22.
Not if they're going to win.
No. I mean, if you get a 5 of 22 out of this tomorrow, it won't be pretty, in my opinion.
Totally agree.
He's got to play lights out.
Keep an eye on Anthony tomorrow. Does the first one go down? I think it's important for Carolina tomorrow to see a lot of shots go in early.
And I thought Jay Billis brought up a great point. He thought North Carolina looked pretty stagnant lately with Anthony's return.
I totally agree with that.
I think he's 100% right. Yep. And listen, Vernon Carey is going to be a beast inside. Garrison Brooks is a player.
Yep.
Right? I mean, North Carolina's going to have to get touches, especially without Robinson in the game.
Stay out of foul trouble, too, if you're Garrison Brooks.
That's a given.
Trey Jones is next on our list here. 16 assists over his first three career games against Carolina. It's the most by a Duke player in their first four games in the rivalry. Is 25 from Jeff Capel. It's always good to see Dick DiVincenzo's name on a list, by the way. And if you don't know who Dick DiVincenzo is, he's really one of the more heralded ACC guards of the late 60s. Right, Pac?
Need to look it up.
Yep.
If you're an ACC fan and don't know the answer to that.
I actually wrote a shooting book one time that was a handy document for kids who grew up in the 70s. By the way, Trey Jones could pass Jeff Capel's mark tomorrow. He's averaging an ACC best 6.8 assists per game.
And I thought Trey Jones was really key in that BC win. His stability in the backcourt, he really played with a dude with experience. That will certainly come into play tomorrow night.
So Trey Jones and Cassius Stanley makes you look pretty good on the back end of those. So does that guy. All right. Next on the list, the old Blue Devils, by the way.
The mighty Blue Devils.
The mighty Blue Devils. According to Robin the Duke fan.
The
Blue Devils did not want to share the ACC regular season since splitting with Maryland in 2009-10. Duke's been picked to win the title seven times since the last time, including this year. This is crazy.
That is an amazing stat.
It's almost as bananas as the Mike Krzyzewski Coach of the Year thing.
Well, it just goes to show you the media doesn't know what they're talking about.
That's true. That's exactly
because how
right.
stupid would you be to pick Duke to win the league?
That's right. So
that is crazy, though, right?
Yeah. Meaning, look at it. It's just
– it's a lot of years.
By the way, it shows you how fast and how good Virginia is, too.
Well, no question about it. Yeah. You read my mind on that because there's a lot of UVA, UNC on that board right there.
Okay. Next on the list. This is good stuff, by the way. The Tar Heels are only averaging 70.9 points per game this year and shooting under 30% from behind the three-point line, which would be the lowest in a season in program history of the shot clock era.
Yikes. That's a yikes.
Tell me.
And you know what? None of us, let me emphasize this, none of us who follow this sport and this league would have ever thought before the season that North Carolina and not being able to score
right.
would even come in to a conversation. And before you say, well, Pac, they lost their top five scores. You guys should have waited. Hey, nobody
right.
was talking about this.
Yeah.
Nobody.
All right. The last one. Here's the one that just kind of pops off the page.
This is an Andrew Brooks special right
yeah,
here.
It is. Carolina has not been a home underdog period in more than 5 years. And there's the results the last time they were a home underdog. You see the 2-5 mark.
Let me help you there.
2-5. Thanks. Florida State loss. Kentucky was a winner. I remember that game. Duke in February of 14 we talked about earlier.
I don't know the answer to this, and only the Lumberjacks probably will right off the top of their head. Do
yes,
you
sir.
Know what the line is of this game?
I'm sorry?
Do you know what the line is in this game?
I do not.
I have no idea.
I do not know that. Maybe the Lumber...
Oh, the experts this side of Reno, Nevada told us the line's not out yet.
Yeah, 80... Look at my man there, by the way.
That's a great picture.
How great is that?
Awesome.
87.5% is the winning chance that BPI gives.
Game Duke. Like this, I don't even give me that. No.
My guess is it's going to be somewhere in double figures.
You think it will be?
Yes, sir.
No, we'll see. Always fun, though. But Louisville, Virginia's, though, is the game to me, from the important standpoint for the weekend in the league, is the one that really is going to carry some serious weight. But this game is unlike any other game that's played in the conference.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Duke, North Carolina.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Great guest today, Keith Gavin, Pitt wrestling coach. They're on the duels tonight as they host Virginia. Jay Billis, legendary figure in this league. And, of course, you'll hear and see him tomorrow front and center for Duke and North Carolina.
Ballmen on campus tonight, that's 9 right. o'clock.
That's it. Patrick Williams, he's done a nice job as a freshman at Florida State. They've got Miami this weekend. The Noles continue to play great basketball. Lars Tiffany, lacrosse coach, Virginia. They open up their season tomorrow as the defending national champs. And now our next guest, Wes, and we've kind of hinted about this throughout the course of the show. It's a guy that when you finally see him here in a second, you're going to go, man, I've seen that guy every ACC game. He has got great seats. I never knew who he was. But what is it? What's the story with this guy?
Well, Fred Kiger joins this show. Full disclosure, friend for years, a guy who has seen, and I'm going to say this because John Madry, who will sit to the left of Dan Shulman tomorrow night, between the two of you, I think you've seen more Duke Carolina games in person, legitimate seats, than just about anybody I know. So
we've seen probably Wes and Pack probably close to 200 games.
Gosh.
Combined.
That's crazy.
So when did it start for you? As a student?
Yes, when I was keeping statistics for Coach Smith back in the 70s. My first game was over in Cameron in 1974 when Bobby Jones came out of nowhere to steal Paul Fox's inbound pass with a tie score and Cameron absolutely beside itself, a din of noise. Jones made the steal, raced in, off balance, left-handed layup, off the glass, through the hoop, and he went right on into the dressing room. Carolina stole a victory. And Cameron went from absolute craze to mausoleum.
All right. So you said 74.
And then the second game.
Oh, I was getting ready to say.
The second? Yes.
How does the second game then steal the highlights of what were two unbelievable? And this is 1974, Pack.
Right.
And Mark said this the other day, Fred, to be honest with you, it's hard to believe we're almost 50 years away from Walter Davis. Now, that being said,
exactly.
So the second game is the one everybody talks about, and I always remind people it was my dad's third year doing Carolina. My dad's third year broadcasting Carolina was the 74 game, and he did 37 more years, and that call is still one that comes to the top of everybody's mind. So what was it about the second game, even all that of the Jones steal from Paul Fox and then some, I guess?
Oh, I mean, it's still, in my mind, the greatest comeback in college basketball history. I'm sitting courtside with John Justice, who later on would become the SID at Wake Forest. We're down 8 points, and when I say we, I'm keeping stats for Coach Smith. We're down 8 points with 17 seconds. There's no three-point shot. And then everything that could go wrong for Duke did. Everything that could go right for North Carolina did. The use of conserving timeouts. Duke, all they had to do was basically inbound the ball. John Kuster, steal, layup, timeout. Duke tries to inbound the ball. And this is after Bobby Jones has hit two free throws to narrow the margin to 6. John Kuster steals, layup, timeout. Another Duke inbounds. Walter Davis steals, shot. Bobby Jones out of nowhere. Tip in, down to 2. Duke finally inbounds the ball. Pete Kramer is fouled, who the season before was one of the best ACC free throw shooters. We go down to the other end of the floor, 1-1, misses the front end. Ed Stahl grabs the ball, calls timeout, and Coach Smith in the huddle, boys, isn't this fun? We've got them exactly where we want them. Baseball pass. Mitch Kupchak with 3 seconds left. Sideline fast break. Walter goes to where he's supposed to, but it's not really where he is supposed to go. Receives the ball. Couple of dribbles. And when he let it go, I went, there's no way this is going in. Follow through. Shot high off the glass to the right of the rim. And it kissed right through the middle of the hoop. And a quiet mausoleum like Carmichael, I thought the roof was going to come down. Of course, that only sent the game into overtime. And Wes, your dad's call is still my favorite of all of his broadcasting career. Him standing and the screaming, unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was unbelievable.
All right. Fred, we were talking about this the other day, that as ACC basketball fans, and I don't care what team you root for, doesn't matter.
Sure.
You will watch Duke and North Carolina, and you may hate both of them, for all I know. But that's what makes this rivalry, to me, the best in sports, because it will grab your attention. But I will also say, we've become almost so spoiled that it's just accepted that it's going to be a great game. And they've delivered so many times that I think we've taken that for granted, in the sense that, hey, we don't know how good we've had it in this league. From not only just Duke, North Carolina, but other teams and great rivalries and so forth. So when you walk into that place tomorrow night, Smith Center, for a fan that's never been to one of these games, well, give me the five sensory overloads that you kind of go through as you're walking through that place for the first time.
As you walk in, probably, Pat, the first thing that overwhelms anyone is the incredible sense of tradition and history. The banners, the buzz. I cannot do a game, and I am nearing 100, without getting absolutely a chill of what have you. Walking into that arena, knowing that for the next 40 minutes, you're watching another chapter in what is an absolute storied, incredible rivalry. You know, I was just thinking a couple days ago, between Duke and North Carolina, there are 11 NCAA national championships. 11. Within a space of 8 miles. I did a little digging. If we made a list of NCAA championships by state, Duke and Carolina alone, with their 11 national championships NCAA, have more than every state in the good old U.S. of A, save only California.
Wow. How
about that? When people walk into that arena, there's that sense, that's an incredible storied presence of great players, great coaches, great finishes, contest between two heavyweights standing in the middle of the ring, hoping to get the bragging rights for at least another month or so before they face another face each other another time. It's incredible. And I have I've yet to even grow tired in any form or fashion. I still get needles and pins kind of experience.
All right. So Pac said this at the start of the show today, Freddie, and I'm going to go along with him. Some people are seeing you today for the first time and going, oh, wait, that's who that is. Because you've had the most unbelievable seat, whether the game at Durham, Chapel Hill, you've been to Raleigh, Winston-Salem, all the venues are over the ACC. But this is not bad for a guy who at one point was a high school history teacher, now still dabbles in that history of Civil War and American history and all the things you've done. But tell people why they see you on TV with the headset on and the pen in your hand during a game, because people are seeing you today and going, that's that guy.
That's the guy.
I see that guy. So what does Fred Kiger do with that headset on that people need to know that you get this unbelievable seat for this?
Well, for the majority of my years, and you're kind to ask, Wes, okay. I have been an associate producer with ESPN and have worked with my statistical colleague, John Madry, and kind of a unique statistical team. He doing talent stats. I'm doing official stats. I'm seated over on the scorer's table, keeping a chart and bouncing off of some 2 or 3 hours of preparation, gathering in-game statistics and padding that with the information that I've brought to the game through research. passing that along to John Madry, who then communicates that to the announcers, Dan and Jay, tomorrow, or to the ESPN truck or the control room where they're turning that into slider graphics or into full page and lower third graphics as well. It's very much live TV. It's very much whatever you have prepared, and you and Pac and your dad, Wes, would be able to relate instantly to this. Mm-hmm. You prepare for every angle, for everything, and yet you may wind up using only 23, 24, 25% of what you've gathered because you have to go where the game goes, not the way you want it to go based upon your preparation. It's a wonderful seat that I have, and I have been privy to some unbelievable encounters over those years.
All right. Now, before we let you go here, and I appreciate you doing this today, yesterday, UNC, because you're an alum, released a podcast of you talking to the university on a podcast called Well Said. And on the attached document that came with the website and the podcast, they brought a picture out. And the picture is of a young Fred Kiger and a guy who initially thought on Twitter to be Bob Savad, but is actually, as Fred told me, Dr. Ron Hyatt. And then the steal of the show is the, I guess, director of the intramural programs was a guy named Roy Williams or something like that, Freddie. Is that right?
I was an intramural official for many years, and then Dr. Hyatt, who ran the intramural program at Carolina when we were all there, asked me if I wanted to be the assistant supervisor of intramural officials. My mentor to learn how to be a supervisor of intramural officials, yes, it was Roy Williams, who I learned very early on was indeed as intense then as he is intense now. There was no halfway about Roy, but he was a wonderful mentor. Yeah. And yes, that was the beginning of our relationship back around 1972, 1973.
That's awesome.
All right, before, this is my last question for you, Fred. When you go through the numbers of this series, and they're spectacular, right? They're almost some of them, you scratch your head and you go, how can that be? The competitive nature, the greatness on both sides for an extended period of time. It's not one of those, hey, two of the last 3 years, man, we've both been ranked in the top three. Nonsense. We're talking about decades upon decades upon decades of excellence and being elite. What is the one stat? And I'm not going to allow you to use it's 50-50 and the numbers are dead tied in terms of points scored in the last 100. Give me one stat about this game that kind of personifies why it's here and everybody else says, you know what, it's a pretty special deal those two have.
Well, Pac, again, I'm going to go back to something I used earlier. We're talking again about two programs who have had 11 NCAA national championships. And if you include the 1924 Helms Foundation award to North Carolina after their undefeated season in 1924, now you're talking about 12 national championships in the space of 8 miles. That in itself, I think, encapsulates the great coaches, the great players, and why tomorrow that this game will capture the imagination of people across the nation. I know many years before when I was traveling more extensively with ESPN, particularly in college football, the minute anyone knew that I lived in Chapel Hill, the first question out of their mouth was, tell me about Duke, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was the experience. This thing is not only regional, not only national, it's international.
Yeah.
And both teams need for the other to be good, right, to be excellent, because that maintains the rivalry. Yep. That keeps the intensity. That draws the interest.
You're the man for doing this. Appreciate the time. Have a good show tomorrow night. Tell everybody over there hello. And thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Well, Pac and Wes, thank you so much. Be well. Thank you, guys.
Enjoy the ball game.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
All right, here we go. Time for this week's and this Friday's edition of the Bojangles Weekend Menu. Tell you what, Bojangles be good right now. Start tonight, Friday night duels pack.
Keep telling you about it.
Virginia at Pitt, Sean Kenny, Rock Harrison will be there 7 o'clock.
Yep.
On ACC Network.
Raccoon Valley and the Rock.
That's it.
Get it done.
Ready to ride. Double dip of basketball tomorrow. Start at noon at Coral Gables, Florida. All right, with Tallahassee when Miami comes up from Coral Gables. Dave O'Brien, Jordan Cornette, Katie George will be there for the 12 noon start. And then tomorrow night at 8. Oh, that's followed by lacrosse, by the way, at 2. Chris Cotter and Matt Ward will be there for Loyola and Virginia. And then basketball tomorrow night, Syracuse and Wake Forest at 8 o'clock from the Carrier Dome. Sunday. Pack, there are three women's games on ACC Network. We start at noon. Virginia at Florida State. Chelsea Cheyenne Wilson and Sam Ravitch will be Mike's side for the Cavaliers and Seminoles. Be interested to see how Florida State plays coming off that win at Louisville last night.
Huge win.
And then Malcolm Huckabee and I will be at Little John Coliseum for Notre Dame and Clemson, which brings us to our stat of the day. TJ Gibbs of the Irish, Mark, is just one of two players in all of college basketball to be 50-50-90 in conference play. He's shooting 54% from the floor, 50% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. Tyler Hagedorn of South Dakota, the only other player, and that's in the Summit League, by the way, is the only other player in Division I basketball to be a 50-50-90 guy in conference play.
That'd be a bar bet.
Yep.
You will hear that one again, I'm sure.
Oh, Sunday you're going to hear that Sunday.
Right?
It might be early, too, by the way. Also in the news yesterday, laughing already. Remember about a month ago we had Kelsey Riggs on this show and it had to do something with snow, right? Remember
she
that?
She lost her car. She wasn't sure where her car
was. Wasn't sure where her car was. Well, yesterday on social media.
Poor Kelsey.
I'm beginning to believe, Josh and Drew, we ought to call this Chronicles with Kelsey. Yesterday, it was a squirrel in her house. And Kelsey chronicled this.
Poor Kelsey.
Things have escalated. There goes a squirrel through the house. She's trying to get out of the way. Now she's got a screen in her hand. Gonna trap this squirrel one way or the other. Up, there it goes. Whoop, back it goes. I think the broom and the screen, Pack. What do you think?
Well, here's the, it's number one. She has a cat, right?
I think more than one.
All right. She has multiple cats.
Yeah. Kelsey Riggs, by the way.
I got news for you. Kelsey, here's the deal. Chester and Fuller, when I had that thing out of your house in about 10 milliseconds, especially Brother Fuller.
Yeah.
He goes after.
Sure.
You got to have a dog, man. A dog eliminates this problem right here.
Yeah.
Eliminates the problem.
Took a couple hours.
Couple hours.
Maybe more. There's the squirrel, back of the chair, in front of an open window.
If Pack. Chester and Fuller were up there right now, that squirrel is running for its life. Running for its life. In fact, I like the chances of that squirrel never making it to the curb with Chester and Fuller there.
By the way, it was also a nice, cool day in Connecticut as well. I think it was in about 34, 35 degrees.
Kelsey's great.
So what do you do? Take a window out, hope you can get the squirrel out. She ultimately, by the way, does get the squirrel out of the house.
Amy was gone, the girls were gone. This was years ago, and I heard something in the middle of the night go down our steps.
Yeah.
I thought there was somebody in my house.
Uh-oh.
And I went and looked down the steps, saw nothing, turned on all the lights, nothing. Last room I looked in, I saw a tail about this long, and it was a possum in our house. And I did the same thing Kelsey did. I had figured out a way to corner the thing and try to open up the front door. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and thank God the neighbors weren't watching. And I got a tennis ball and kept throwing tennis balls at this thing, ticking it off
right,
to finally get it out. So when I saw Kelsey's ordeal yesterday, it's the first thing that popped my mind. You know, what are you going to do? You try to get the thing out of there without hurting yourself.
Chronicles with Kelsey.
She is so funny.
Yes, she is. Bless your heart, Kelsey Riggs.
All right, you got a vibe for games this week? Can Virginia pull off a stunner?
No.
At Louisville, you're not feeling it. Just can't score enough.
No, I don't think so. I think Louisville's got the vibe. The depth at Louisville, by the way, just continues to be one of the things that I think is going to be a key to their success. I think Duke Carolina's close.
Closer than what people think.
Right? Yeah, closer than – thanks, Coach Corso. I actually like BC at Virginia Tech on the road.
It's an important game for Virginia Tech. They have got to stop the bleeding, and they were brutally bad at Georgia Tech.
I like Syracuse at home. I like
– The game you've got is going to be intriguing. I know you can't make a pick. You're going to pull a Herbstreit on me
I'm
here.
I'm going to pull a Herbstreit on you. Georgia Tech-Pittsburgh will be close too, I think.
Globbed specials, man. Yeah. There's a bunch of them.
Great week of shows. Thanks to Drew and Josh, Chrissy, Bianna. Thanks, everybody, for their help. We have tremendous folks helping us every day get Packer and Durham to you.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.